This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Time to feed you some football. It's NFL Lunch here on Vinny and Haney. Cordell Woodland in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Coming up at 1:15, we'll get you Vinny's Feeble Five. We gave you the Dirty Dozen earlier, the 12 best teams in the league right now. Let's talk about the five worst teams coming up at 1:15. Right now, Vinny, let's look around the league and let's go out to the AFC East. We had an AFC East matchup between the Patriots and the Jets. On Sunday, Patriots won that game 25-22. Drake May was knocked out of this game earlier with a head injury, and I saw Gerard Mayo tell the media yesterday that he is in the concussion protocol. Didn't have any new updates on Drake May, but the story here is the Jets, and the Jets just seems like they can't get right. They traded for Davante Adams a couple of weeks ago. They fired their head coach before that. I don't know how many other solutions they can go to right now. They're sitting at 2-6. I mean, is their season over?
Sounds like it. Seems like it. Feels like it. And if that's the case, Cordell, everybody is going to be gone. They'll be in a major rebuild, and it'll be a new head coach and new general manager to lead the charge. And Aaron Rodgers probably retires.
Yeah. I mean, It's really turned out to be a disaster out in New York. I mean, last year, obviously, is what it was. Rodgers gets hurt to start the season, and their season goes down the drain almost immediately. This year, I think it hurts a little more because you have Rodgers, yep. Right? You trade for Davante Adams. You think that defense is going to be what it's been, and nothing seems to be clicking right now for them. It's definitely a disaster in New York. Let's go out to L.A., check on the Rams. The Rams, who beat the Vikings on Thursday Night Football 30-20, got their two wide receivers healthy back on the field. A lot of trade rumors surrounding Cooper Kupp going into that game.
Yeah,
seems to have kind of gone away. Rams still sitting at 3-4, but you look at that NFC West completely wide open right now. I know the Niners won on Sunday night, beating up the Cowboys. But do you give the Rams a legit shot to turn their season around right now?
Yes, I do. And I picked them to win the other night against Minnesota just because they got the receivers back, you know, and you kind of get your mojo back and mm-hmm. stuff. And all of a sudden, Stafford, and Puka. So I think they got some confidence now, and they're not out of it. That division, they're right in the division. So they're not trading anybody.
No, I think they snatched Cooper Kupp off the trade block just as fast as they put him on there. But yeah, I agree. I think the Rams are one of those teams that you do have to watch out for. Offensively, if they're healthy, they're going to be tough to stop. The question is, can that defense be good enough, you know, to give them a chance?
They give up 20 points to Minnesota, in their division, you know, because they know each other. And McVay's a hell of a coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say yes.
Let's stick in the NFC West. The Arizona Cardinals right now, 4-4 after beating the Dolphins 28-27. This is a team that right now, usually they deal with injury issues, specifically with their quarterback, Kyler Murray, who's healthy to this point in the season, playing good ball. Another game, over 300 yards passing, two touchdowns in the win. James Conner is still there. He's dealt with injury issues.
He's good.
He is. He runs very hard out there. How do you feel about this Cardinals team as maybe being one of these teams to sneak in to the back end of the NFC playoffs?
Well, you know what's funny, Cordell, is just like talking about the Rams, talking about Arizona, and, you know, maybe if Seattle can get Metcalf and get everybody mm-hmm. healthy, you know, and the Niners are going to get McCaffrey back in another week. So that's going to be an interesting, that'll be kind of the fight to the finish.
Yeah.
You know, in that division. And I think only only one team makes it out of there because of the North.
Let's go out to Dallas. Dallas lost to that NFC West team, the San Francisco 49ers. Niners go to 4-4 as well. But the Cowboys, they lose 30-24, dropping to 3-4. Dak Prescott, two interceptions in the loss. Cowboys still looking to find their running game. I don't think they'll find one. They upgraded Dalvin Cook this past week. That didn't help at all. Where are you on the Cowboys? I know they have a lot of injuries themselves, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. If they start to get some of those guys back, could their season turn around?
They were stinking with them.
Right.
You know, they're just not a good defense. That's the problem. So
that's another team where their defensive coaches have all gone, all went to Washington.
Yeah. And they brought Zimmer back.
Mm-hmm.
Zimmer was bad at Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the Cowboys are the Cowboys are done, Cordell. I think Jerry wants them to be done, it seems like.
Yeah. Cause that way he can just clean do what it. He wanted to do last year, honestly, but couldn't do it. Probably because they actually did have a good year last year.
Yeah, they won 12 games.
And this year, now he has more of a reason to be able to just get rid of everybody. Like you said, I think that's exactly what he wants to do. Let's go out to L.A., back out to L.A., I should say. Check in on the Chargers. They beat the Saints 26-8 on Sunday. Was not the prettiest game to watch, but the Chargers actually had somewhat of an offense. You got to see Ladd McConkey really have a big day. Six catches, 111 yards, two touchdowns. Justin Herbert, smile on his face. It's been a while since we've seen Justin Herbert smile. That offense has been a struggle for the Chargers. They're sitting at 4-3 right now. What do you think about where their season goes from here?
Yeah, the Chargers, I just don't know because their explosiveness on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to be somewhat of an issue, you know. And I think as the season goes on, I'm not sure Dobbins is going to kind of wear down, you know, and that maybe that knee tightens up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll be much better next year. That's what I think. And you know, Bosa, he's always hurt.
All right.
So we'll see. And you know what? With Harbaugh teams, they may get better as it goes along too, Cordell. And they'll be a little bit, you know, maybe a half a year ahead of where,
right.
You know, I mean, if he got to 10 wins, he may be coach of the year.
Oh, that's a successful season with that team.
Oh,
that
no
is,
doubt.
Their talent on the offensive side of the ball, at least, all gone.
Well, they're all hurt, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the little talent
they did have
is hurt. Right.
You know.
Yeah, let's go to what turned out to be the game of the week this week out in Washington between the Bears and the Commanders. Obviously, Commanders win. Yeah. Off the Hail Mary at the end of the game. A lot to unpack with that game, but I want to start with Chicago. A lot of attention has been put on their head coach, Matt Eberflus, for the lack of decisions he made in that game, whether it's calling a timeout to get your guys situated for the Hail Mary or deciding to give the ball to your offensive lineman when you're on the goal line in a time in a game where you really could have taken control of the game at that point. I mean, he was on the hot seat after last year. Should he be on the hot seat again?
To be determined. I wouldn't say right now he deserves to be. But, you know, it's basically the same kind of thing the Ravens did, you know, on the short yardage play. Giving it to, you know, they had to have practiced.
You hope.
Yeah.
It didn't look like it.
But the thing about, no. But the thing about that is Cordell, when you're practicing it, he ain't getting tackled.
Right, right.
You know, and they're not, there's not a lot of defensive linemen coming around him and stuff. You know, I mean, they got a good running back in Swift who's been playing
really
well.
Good.
Yeah. So, I guess live and learn. You know, you got too, just like the Ravens, you got too cute.
Way too cute. In an ugly game. An ugly game.
Well, that's what the Ravens game was too.
On the flip side, the Commanders, they win. They go to 6-2. I don't want to be biased, but
go ahead.
They look like the best team in the division. I think you look
Philly
at the
might
NFC.
Be by the time it's all said and
maybe.
Done.
Maybe. I'll give them the edge because I do believe
well,
Philly is
done,
more talented.
The Giants are done.
Yeah, both of those teams.
It's a two-horse race.
And I look at the NFC right now. I do think it's a toss-up. I like Green Bay. I like Green Bay more than other people seem to. I do trust them a little bit. I do trust Detroit right now, and it took me some time to get to that point, but uh-huh. I like what the Lions are doing. I think they're easily the best team in the NFC right now. But after that, I mean, who else are you really afraid of if not Washington in the NFC?
Well, what could happen is you get McCaffrey and Debo healthy and all that. The Niners.
Oh, definitely.
The Niners, don't count them out.
For sure.
And
I mean, I guess the Vikings are record-wise, they're there, but I just see them kind of declining a little bit.
Yeah, and could Atlanta?
Atlanta doesn't scare me yet.
No.
They don't scare me yet. I think that they're a solid team. They have talent for sure.
They got some nice young, talent.
It's clicking, Kirk. When that offense is moving, they're good.
Yeah.
The defense isn't as good as I thought it would be. But,
right.
Yeah, Atlanta's there. They just don't scare me when I look at the conference as a whole.
Yeah, that's fair. They're not up there with Detroit and them.
For
up,
sure.
You know.
For sure.
But, we're talking, 10 weeks down the road right now. And then how much healthier is Cousins going to be and all that. I think, we'll see. In 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, because we've already got a bunch of teams that are done.
Right.
And then you got some teams that, Cordell, like when I was in Washington, we were 5-6 one year, and then we won every game after that. So somebody's going to make a run. Somebody's going to, like you said, the NFC West, somebody's going to win 10 games out there.
And the deadline pretty much almost being here, I think that's going to loom large in terms of what teams end up ascending and who goes backwards. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you Vinny's Feeble Five. Who are the five worst teams in the NFL right now? Vinny will tell you next here on The Fan.
How in the world?
Vinny and Haney's Feeble Five.
It has been a nightmare for this team.
The handful of teams we wish the Ravens were playing.
You suck.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bob to hear with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Coming up at 1:30, we'll talk some college football with Bill Bender from Sporting News. CFP rankings are starting to trickle out. We're getting closer and closer to the back end of the season. Which 12 teams, I had to remind myself how many teams are in the CFP this year. Which 12 teams are looking like they're going to be in the playoffs. But right now, talking about the five worst teams in the NFL. Vinny, what did last week look like?
Last week we had Cleveland 1, Carolina 2, New England 3, Tennessee 4, Giants 5. Now, Cleveland, that's all Deshaun Watson. They'll win some games now.
Oh, it's a different team.
Yes. All right, so coming in at 5, 2-6 New York Giants.
You suck!
They lost at Pittsburgh 26-18. They're hosting Washington. The Giants have allowed an NFL-high 4 rushes over 40 yards. They have also allowed 10 rushes of over 20 yards. So, Robinson, get ready, baby. Or, same with Daniels, too.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in at 4, 2-6 Jacksonville.
You suck!
They lost to Green Bay 30-27. They're at Philly. The Jags are one of only two NFL teams to allow over 6 yards per play on defense. Coming in at 3, 1-6 Tennessee.
You suck!
They do. They lost to Detroit 52-14. They're hosting the Patriots. The Titans have scored 17 or fewer points in 6 of their 7 games this season. Coming in at 2, 2-6 New England.
You suck!
Yeah, they beat the Jets 25-22. They're at Tennessee. The Patriots have thrown for under 200 yards in 6 of their 8 games.
What a disaster
it's
been for, which isn't a surprise, but I think all the off the field, Mayo calling his guys soft and then Belichick laying them out for it. I mean, it's really turning out to be a mess out there.
Now, really, I could have like 5A and 5B also, like with the Jets and with the Raiders.
Right.
Coming in at 1, 1-7 Carolina.
You suck!
They lost at Denver 28-14. They're hosting New Orleans, which could be in there too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's about eight teams that really do suck.
It is.
The Panthers have allowed 18 or more TDs than they have scored. No other NFL team has allowed 10 more than they have scored. So in summary, Carolina, New England, Tennessee, Jacksonville, New York Giants, and like I said, the Jets, the Raiders, the Saints. You know, we could have the feeble eight, it seems like, because there's eight teams that are really bad.
And the thing is, I mean, we talked about it at the end of the last segment. You brought up, you know, when you were in Washington, how it was 5-6 and all of a sudden they got hot. I mean, do you see a scenario for any of those five teams at least where they could turn it around? Because I don't.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, when we did it, Cordell, it was when Sean passed.
Right. It was an emotional boost for sure.
Yeah, and Todd Collins played awesome at quarterback for us. And we had a good running back. So we weren't a bad football team. And then, you know, I mean, by the end of the year, Cordell, we were good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see anybody. The only one maybe, Cordell, like the Jets maybe, if they put it all together. I mean, they've got some
talent. They got the talent, for sure. Yeah, it's been a lot of ugly football played to this point. And, I mean, those are just five of the teams. But like you said, there could definitely be a lot more thrown in there. Let's try to grab a call before we go to break. Let's go to Shiloh in West Baltimore. Shiloh, thanks for holding, man. You're on the Fan.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call. Hey, Vinny, real fast, man. There's a lot I want to say. I know I had a time, right? But I want to say this real fast. Hey, Vinny, you know the same way. Now, I know people going to say, oh, well, the winning records and all that kind of stuff. But it's all about behavior. But let's put that to the side for a second. You know the same way people hold Lamar accountable for what he do in the playoffs? When we going to start holding a Harbaugh accountable for what we don't do in the playoffs? And my whole thing is this, real fast. You got guys on this team, pass rushers that ain't doing nothing. I mean, like, Vinny, Ajabo, Oway, I'm surprised I say Oway ain't 4.5 stats because I really haven't seen it. But my whole thing is, Vinny, is there any way possible that you can bring in Zadarius Smith with large the money is right and honey, but like, what is it going to cost to bring those guys in? And real fast, last thing, Vinny.
Well, half of their salary is basically is what it would cost them. And compensation-wise, I don't think it's much. But I don't see Cleveland trading Zadarius Smith to Baltimore unless the Ravens were given, like, you know, everybody else was given a fifth-round pick and the Ravens were given a third, you know, something like that. Otherwise, no, I don't see them doing that.
Now, keep in mind here, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, he does have a full year left for 2025 on his current contract.
So, at what?
Base salary, $6.2 million.
Okay. So it would, and is the same salary this year?
Actually, base this year is only $1.5 million.
Yeah, so it costs him nothing this year. And yeah, I mean, you could keep him for the year, and if he plays well, keep him. Otherwise, you can cut him, you know, and you're going to cut Marcus Williams.
Yeah, definitely. I expect them to make a move. I think they should make a move first and foremost, at least a move on the defensive side of the ball, preferably a pass rusher. But I could definitely buy safety as well right now. But between those two, they need something. And look, these guys dropping like flies on the interior of this defensive line. I mean, Travis Jones, I think he re-injured himself probably playing in that game yesterday. We'll see what his practice week
Pierce,
looks like.
You know he's going to be out
Pierce
for a while.
Is going to be out sometime. I know Urban probably is just a
concussion.
So, you know, he'll probably bounce back from that. But
Travis Jones is a key one because he's a dominant player inside. So that one will be that one. You know, that one could take to the bye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see. Because he wasn't effective at all.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll switch gears, talk some college football with Bill Bender. He covers college football for Sport and News. Talk to him about the CFP, what teams have surprised him, which teams is he not buying just yet. We'll ask him next here on The Fan. We'll take over from there. The college football season is heating up. in a big way, getting closer and closer to CFP time. Perfect time to bring in Bill Bender. He covers college football for Sport and News. Bill, what's going on?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for making the time for us today. And it's been a great season to this point. It's a ton of really good games to this point, some memorable ones even, especially in the SEC. But when you look at kind of the upper half of the rankings right now, is there a team that's sitting up there in position to be in the CFP as of right now that is a surprise to you?
Texas A&M would be one. You know, we're sitting here and they're 7-1 and the only SEC team without a loss. I think you could have won some money if you would have said, hey, back in August, said walk into a bar and say, hey, we go in November, Texas A&M won't have an SEC loss yet, but they will have lost to Notre Dame. You would have won a lot of money. So I think they're playing very well in the spot that they're in. They would be a surprise. Indiana's the obvious answer in the Big Ten, right? I mean, they were picked 17th, and nobody took Kurt Cignetti seriously back at Big Ten Media Day, and here they are in November with an unbeaten record.
Now, what effect is the Penn State-Ohio State game going to have on Saturday?
Well, that depends on what you think the game really means. I mean, last year it would have meant Big Ten championship game, and that's probably the immediate stakes. If Penn State wins, then Ohio State's probably not playing in the Big Ten championship, but if they beat Indiana and Michigan, it'd be hard to turn away a 10-2 Ohio State team. And if Ohio State wins, then Penn State will have lost the big game, but they're still sitting there 8-7-1, and they don't play Oregon or Michigan. So they'll probably get in. Both teams will probably get in the playoff, but I think it's the difference would be Big Ten championship game, and winner is probably on track for home playoff game. Loser, road in the first round.
Well, you mentioned Indiana being one of the surprise teams to this point, and I agree with you. They probably are the most surprising team. Pittsburgh has surprised me this year as well. They're sitting at 7-0, currently ranked 18th. They take on number 20 SMU Saturday night, which would be a good one. SMU themselves sitting at 7-1. What do you make of this Pittsburgh Panthers team that right now seems to be one of the better teams in the ACC?
Well, they keep finding ways to win. They've won four close games, and then the other night, man, I don't know if you guys were watching, but pick six every time I turned around. And a great effort against Syracuse to win 41-13. They found the right guys in the transfer portal. Eli Holstein, Alabama transfer, playing very well. Desmond Reed, small guy, but it seems like one of those guys that's among the all-purpose yards leaders in the country. Doesn't seem like it. He is. And he's just been pound for pound one of the best players in the country at that position. So they've got a lot going in their favor. And, man, again, walk into the bar and say, it and SMU will be a huge ACC game. If I would have said that 5 years ago, I would have made a ton of money.
Well, how about, you know, I guess week or two, whenever it is Notre Dame Army. You know, walk into a bar and say that would be a big game. You know, and one of the teams would be undefeated, and it's not Notre Dame.
Well, you know, I made the case today. That's a great point. That Army is one of the most intriguing teams in this playoff race for a couple of reasons. One, they're unbeaten with that rush. We know about the triple option. You know, they lead the nation in rushing offense. They got a quarterback that is among the leaders in points, total points scored. So at what point are we calling Bryson Daly a Heisman Trophy contender? And then on top of it, they wrinkle where they play the American Athletic Conference championship game, then would play Navy the week before or the week after when the playoff are supposed to be selected. So are we going to wait on that? I think that's one of the more interesting wrinkles to this playoff selection process, that they didn't really think, hey, Navy and Army are going to be undefeated or one-loss teams late in the season and in the race for that group of five berth.
We're talking to Bill Bender from Sport and News. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Bill, you guys talked a little bit about that Ohio State-Penn State matchup that we have this weekend. Ohio State's coming off of a game that I didn't think they looked that great in against Nebraska at home this past weekend. Penn State, they've been steady all year. Do you feel like, how close are these teams, I guess is my question, in terms of how good they can be?
Well, I think the margin's always close between them. Last year, the only difference was Ohio State had Marvin Harrison, Penn State didn't.
Right.
And he made the handful of plays in that game. So one of the big things to watch, obviously, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but Drew Aller,
mm-hmm.
play. Game-time decision. That impacts this game so significantly because with Drew Aller, they can attack the Ohio State corners down the field. With Bo Pribula, try, but the game plan would change because he can run a little bit more. So for Ohio State, you mentioned it. I live in Central Ohio. The pressure here is very palpable on this team, almost too much. I don't know if there's a Baltimore team you guys could point to where so much pressure on them to win that it got to them. And it's getting on that kind of – we're on that border. That Nebraska game showed that, man, there might just be a little too much pressure on this Ohio State team. And they don't play Michigan for a month.
Now, Bill, I'm an Iowa State alum. What do you think about my Cyclones undefeated?
Well, how are they doing it? Ugly, right? Defense. Lead the Big 12 in scoring defense. Lead the Big 12 in passer efficiency defense in a league that depends on quarterback play. And Matt Campbell's make Rocco Beck's been great. Mm-hmm. They run the ball effectively between the three running backs. And I mean, every week they make me look bad because I pick against them on the spread every week, and then they just find ways to cover. So they're in good shape. I don't know. Are you going to be able to handle weeks of Farmageddon if they have to play Kansas State, then turn around and do it again?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. As long as it's not at K-State. I mean, if you've been out to K-State, you know, traveling out there, you know, you're driving in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden, bam, there's a college campus.
Yeah, and they've been impressive, too, with the way they've run the football. But here's something to watch as we get into November, and I was talking about this all morning. Colorado has a couple things. And here I go. Heisman candidates, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Sanders. Haven't beat a ranked team, but very good chance to go 10-2. And if you watch the games at Colorado, they've created a home field advantage there. Really have. So tell me that if Colorado finishes 10-2 and is on the border of a playoff berth, that they're at least going to think about putting them in there to see what those TV ratings look like.
Well, yeah. Well, ask the WNBA with Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, I mean, that would drive viewership. Travis Hunter is pretty phenomenal. And I was one of the, I don't want to say critics, but I was just kind of like, okay, let's see if he can do that for a full season. And he literally is every single week. He's been amazing.
And you mentioned Travis Hunter. I mean, I don't see how he's not at the top of the Heisman list right now. And when you talk about after him, it gets a little murky. As guys in there, you could obviously Cam Ward's having a great year. Ashton Jeanty is having a great year. How does the pecking order look for you right now in terms of the Heisman race?
Hunter and Jeanty and Ward are all looking really good. I think Cam Ward's been phenomenal. I think we're almost penalizing him a little much because, you know, Miami's 8-0. And if this were the 90s, he would be the winner already. You know, that's what Gino Toretta did in the 90s. That's what Vinny Testaverde did in the 80s. I like Hunter. I like Jeanty. Jeanty's phenomenal. You got to stay up late to watch him, but
yes,
he's really good. And, you know, guy that can sneak in there here as we get into November. Let's keep an eye on Dylan Gabriel at Michigan on Saturday. He's been very good, very efficient, much like Bo Nix was last year. But this is kind of the defining game. Why? Not because Michigan's 5-3. It's because it's Michigan at 3:30 in that afternoon window and Oregon making one of those dreaded cross-country trips.
Bill, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this afternoon. How can people follow you and keep up with your work?
Yeah, I'm at BillBender92 at SportingNews.com. This was so much fun, so hopefully you guys call me back as we get into November. This race is hard to sort out, but it's been a lot of fun to do.
For sure. Really appreciate your time, Bill. Have a great
Thanks,
rest
Bill.
Of your day.
Thank you.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll wrap things up, take one last trip through the Funhouse with Quick Draw before Inside Access takes over at 2. That's next here on The Fan.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with maybe the topic of the day here, Zach Orr. This texter says, Harbaugh has fired coordinators midseason before, They were both on offense, but it's not entirely impossible he would move on from Orr if he felt there was a better replacement available.
Well, the only replacement available would be Dean Pease.
Right.
That would be the only one. Now, we did this in Washington. You know, remember we brought in Bill Arnsberger the year we won the NFC East. And he helped us a bunch. And Mike Nolan stayed. And Bill was heavily involved. And because Arnsberger and Mike Nolan had a relationship, so that made it smooth. Zach Orr and Pease have a relationship, which should make it smooth. But, you know, does Zach Orr stand up to Dean, you know? And then how much involved is Dean during the game? I would imagine a lot, because for us, Arnsberger was involved a lot.
And is that an upgrade, you know, going from Orr to Dean Pease? I mean, sure, you get the experience, no doubt, but is that the defense you want? Do you want the Dean Pease defense back there? I'm not saying it's the wrong answer. I'm just throwing out all the possibilities because, and even to the texter saying Harbs has fired offensive coordinators before in the past, this would feel a little different just because Harbs, like, grabbed this guy out of there. He was the next guy up. It just seemed like this was a Harbs-led move. He's a young guy. This is his first stint. Like, should they be surprised that it's going this way when this is his first opportunity?
I'm guessing they probably figured that it would be, because with Mike McDonald it was for, what, four or five games? Then it got really good.
Right.
I mean, we're going into week 9, Cordell.
They also traded for Roquan, which helped it tremendously.
Last year, or 2 years
ago. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, we did learn in the last 20 minutes that the Colts have, in fact, benched Anthony Richardson for Joe Flacco, leading to this text from Barron, who says, how does Flacco keep coming off the bench year after year, leading these teams to a turnaround midseason? Is he still not going to get offered a starting job this coming offseason?
No. You know why he's not getting an offer to starting job? Because he's too old and there's no future. You know, everybody wants, you know, future. But Joe, he's smart and he can throw the football. You know, and that's what these teams, you know, these young quarterbacks, they can't complete passes like Watson. He's been in two great spots for him.
That's
Watson, just like Jameis Winston. The players played hard for Winston yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like these last two stops for Joe have been the perfect places for him. I mean, Cleveland, they have the run game. They had the defense. They had the receivers. They had Njoku. They just needed somebody that's going to get them the ball. Indianapolis' defense definitely isn't on the same scale as Cleveland's was, but hey, they can run the ball. They have receivers out there. Yep. So they just needed somebody that can get them the ball on schedule, in rhythm, and the kid out there right now, Richardson, he can't hit anything unless it's 60 yards down the field. I mean, he's not looking anywhere else.
Did you like him coming out of college?
Not as much as, obviously, the Colts did.
Yeah.
I thought he deserved a shot, but I was surprised that they reached up for him as much as they did. They obviously like his measurables and what he can do, you know, athletically, but should anybody be surprised about his inefficiency as a passer when you look at him in college to what he's doing now? It's the same guy.
You know what's interesting, Cordell? When you look at these quarterbacks that are really doing well now, the young guys, Jaden Daniels played how many years in college?
Five.
Caleb Williams played how many games? Like
30-some
games in college. Bo Nix played 6 years in college. I mean, so that's kind of, and Richardson, he didn't play hardly at all.
No. And they definitely didn't have a lot of game experience.
And look at Trey Lance.
I was about to say him too, yeah.
He had none.
That's kind of the trade-off when you look at these younger quarterbacks these days. They don't get to hold the clipboard anymore. But I think it's okay when you get some of these guys that have had that experience throughout college. Especially considering the college and NFL game, is at least offensively, are very much similar these days than they used to be.
Well, like Shedeur Sanders for next year. He'll be a 3-year starter. And you think any of this, he's coming in, it's going to be too big for him?
Nah.
No.
One last one here, talking Yankees World Series. Texter says, I better see the national media filled with Aaron Judge choke artist headlines this offseason. He's been abysmal in October, not just this year, his entire career. Not worthy of the captain title in New York.
Ooh. I mean, I don't know if I'm ready to say he's not worthy of the captain title, but I agree. it should be plastered everywhere because God knows, I mean, it was the case for Lamar. They still talk about it with him. And baseball is not the same as NFL, so they're not going to get the same publicity. ESPN barely even talks baseball, so they probably won't get to it as much. But yes, I agree. This is something that Aaron Judge is going to have to wear the rest of the offseason. I actually respect Judge. I like his answers that he's given post-game. He's not running from the fact that he's stinking up the joint. He's acknowledging he's got to play better. But yes, he's going to have to wear this until spring training.
Did Jim Kelly have to? Because he lost how many? Super Bowls?
Yes. Yeah, Jim Kelly. I was young. I was alive. I was young. But I don't know what they were talking about on SportsCenter. Back then, newspapers were even bigger at that point. So I would imagine Jim was getting ripped up just as much. Even though the kicker probably should have been getting ripped up just as much. That'll do it for us here on Vinny and Haney. Another great one in the books. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Thanks to all our guests. Great job on the board as always by Quick Draw. Don't touch that dial. Inside Access, they're up next. Until next time, class dismissed.